Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency. If you didn't think it would be important, Anna said that the holiday is non-refundable and it is the only time that her and her family can go away altogether. When I said there was nothing that we could do, she said, and I quote, "It's fine, I'll just pull a sickie and go away, and there is nothing you can do about it."
Let's really understand the issues that are in question here, because we've got an employee who hasn't followed a policy, but then they're also giving us an indication that actually they don't care, they're going to do this anyway. For HR, it's not just a case of approving requests and checking with line managers, it's also thinking about those relationships within the workforce. So not just trust and confidence between you and the employee, but also what's going on between the employees. And if someone is getting the benefit of the holiday policy more than somebody else, we need to make sure that we're managing that and that we're being fair.
We're back.
We're back.
In one of the warmest rooms in Leeds.
We go.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. How's your week been?
Steady.
Ready for this?
Ready, yeah. Somewhat ready. That'll do for a little catch-up, I think. We'll jump right in. We don't have much time, do we? So let's go straight in.
It's podcasting. Why would we want to hang around?
We're not here to mess about, are we? We're on a limited time. Today's HR crisis story is about, well, it's called about pulling sickies, really. You had an email in. We had an email in as a group. I'm just going to read it out.
Yeah, it's quite a good one, this one, I think.
Yeah, it's a bit of a long one, so I'll do my best. Hi, Alyssa. Someone just left me speechless. Have to say, it doesn't happen very often. And before I found some choice words on the matter, thought I'd better drop you a line first. So Portia, the one we have discussed with attitude issues, not a good start, came into the office this morning announcing that she'd won 10 grand on a scratch card. Well, lucky thing. Her and her family, in her words, got smashed and booked and paid for a holiday spending the lot. One of her colleagues reminded her she should have booked it off, so she made the request. However, on those dates, staff have already got leave approved and we are already at the minimum staffing. Had she looked on our system and followed the policy, she would have seen that there was never a chance for the holiday to be approved. Our policy states employees must never book or pay for a holiday until they have approved it, as we have minimum staffing from a health and safety perspective. She has seen, she signed it when she joined, and it circulated each year and signed again. She didn't think it would be important, and has said that the holiday is non-refundable, and it is the only time that her and her family can go away altogether. When I said there was nothing that we could do, she said, and I quote, "It's fine, I'll just pull a sickie and go away, and there is nothing you can do about it."
What an email.
Long one. Lots to unpack. Unpack is a good word, isn't it?
Well, the crux of this one, isn't it, is that line that probably gets a lot of HR and employment backs up is, I'm going to do it anyway and there's nothing you can do about it.
Disrespect, isn't it?
It's that attitude,
isn't it? On the highest level, the disrespect from Portia there. What a name as well. What a glorious name.
No offence to anybody called Portia, Mercedes, BMW, any
of course,
name.
Any car. All respectable names and that. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot there. A lot there to go through. First of all, the 10 grand on the scratch card. Mm-hmm. Let's start with that. Wow.
I mean, you know, who can blame her, I suppose? You win 10 grand and think, what's the first thing you think when you win some money on the lottery or something like that, I think, is, you know what, let's take the family away.
Yeah, I've done well. And I deserve a reward.
Boring as it may sound, we've got to check the rules first, haven't we?
We have.
You know, what is this going to be okay with work? And particularly if you're going to drop that kind of money and it's non-refundable, we always need to make sure that we're checking policies.
It's a gamble otherwise, isn't it? You're actually gambling the money away.
It is a gamble. And, you know, with a situation like this, you might get a response like, well, what's the big deal? You know, everyone should be allowed a bit of time away. The point is, particularly in certain workplaces, minimum staffing can be a real issue. And if we don't have enough people either to undertake a shift or to meet our health and safety requirements, it could mean that a stop is put on the work and we lose that shift entirely. And also in this situation where we've got people who have followed the rules, what is she expecting, one of them to cancel their holiday that's been approved? They've gone through the proper rules and the procedures, potentially booked and paid for something as well. There's a lot to balance here.
Doesn't bode well moving forward, does it, if someone's disobeyed the rules and it's allowed.
Exactly.
And then, do you know what I mean? When they go forward with the company, they're going to other people are going to think they can take the mick a little bit with that. But yeah, we've got some questions to go through. As always, we'll start with the questions to ask as an employer. So what should they be asking? The first one we've got down, what steps should HR take when an employee threatens to call in sick after being denied the time off initially?
So in this situation, the key is, as always, we need to stay calm, no knee-jerk reactions. If we get into an argument with this employee without having taken advice and got an idea of what the strategy is going to be, we could end up saying something that we regret or something that we can't take back. So it's always one of my key points. We take a breath and we take some advice. And HR have done exactly the right thing in this situation. She said before she said some choice words, she's dropped me a line. So I said, you know, let's just take a breath. Let's not respond in the way that our gut instinct's telling us to. And let's really understand the issues that are in question here. Because we've got an employee who hasn't followed a policy, but then they're also giving us an indication that actually they don't care. They're going to do this anyway.
She's even said there, like, the employee's displayed attitude before. So she understands, like, a demon's a terrible way to say that. Understands her workforce here, doesn't she? Like, what's who, like, how to police who as such?
Absolutely. And having that level of understanding of your workforce is really important because it means you're less likely to react in a way that you may then later regret. She knows this employee can be a little bit predictable. We've had issues with attitude in the past. So let's go and plan what we're going to do.
Second question. What disciplinary actions or consequences should employers take for employees who take unauthorized leave or take a sickie?
So in this specific situation, we've got to have a think about, well, what policy breaches have we got going on and what is it that we could actually consider disciplining for? So she's in breach of the holiday policy because she hasn't checked the dates first. She hasn't been on the system to have a look to see if that could be approved. She's gone and done it anyway. So would we discipline someone for breaches of the holiday policy? Potentially. It's probably not the most serious thing. But the elephant in the room here is, well, what's going to happen later in the year when she takes the holiday anyway without authorization, but in all likelihood will provide a sick note. So that absence is going to be covered. So the big question here is, well, what are we actually disciplining for? Is it the booking the holiday without authorization, which will probably be a bit of a slap on the wrist? It's probably not that serious. Is it that she's going to be off even though it's been declined? But she's going to have the sick note to cover the absence. So what are we going to be saying, that we don't believe she's really sick? Because I can guarantee in this situation, she'll be off to see the GP and she'll tell the GP she's not feeling very well. She's feeling a bit low. She needs a bit of time away from work and she is going to get that sick note. It's highly unlikely that the GP isn't going to provide it. So are we calling the GP a liar and saying, well, she's not really sick? Is that really a fight that we want to get into? And actually the crux of this one is that she has stated very clearly an intention to be dishonest.
We're not going to throw shade on GPs. We're not trying to throw shade on GPs. But I mean, would you, from that initial sort of comment by her, would you advise the HR to then start building a case? And like you mentioned on a previous pod, like write everything down, time, date, stamp it. She said this when, whatever. Would you start building the case from there? And then onwards.
Exactly. I wouldn't necessarily be waiting until she goes off on this holiday and takes that time off. I'd be writing down what she said and calling a meeting with her to say, well, look, we've all cooled off a little bit, but I just want to go over what has happened.
Yeah.
You've booked a holiday and paid for it that was against company policy. There's already people who've got that time booked off and there's nothing that we can do about it. You're saying that because the holiday is non-refundable, you're going to go anyway. And in your words, you're going to pull a sickie. And that pulling the sickie suggests that actually you're going to be dishonest about your reasons about going off. And see how the employee reacts to that. And if she says, well, look, that's the only option I've got because you're not prepared to approve the holiday. Well, she's expressing an intention to be dishonest and to manipulate the holiday policy and the sickness policy. So at that point, that could be something then that we can focus on in terms of disciplinary.
Definitely. Is this a law term, like breach of trust?
breach of trust. Yeah.
Is that,
see,
like...
You can tell we've been having these discussions and that we're really getting into this in the podcast. So the employment relationship is fundamentally based on trust and confidence.
Absolutely.
So as an employer, we have to be able to trust that the employee is going to turn up. They're going to do as they're told. They're going to follow the rules. They're going to bring their best to work every day. The employee has to trust us that we're not going to abuse them when they're at work, that we're going to give them a fair workload, that we're not essentially going to take the mickey while they're there, and that we pay them on time. So there's a balance that needs to be struck. When that balance gets upset because somebody has done something that undermines that trust, then it can put that employment relationship in jeopardy. And we're in quite a serious situation then. Because if you're an employer, that you've got an employee and you simply cannot trust them, is whether can that relationship continue? And it's a difficult one for employers, because we need to make sure, as we've always said, before we dismiss, it's got to be very, very serious. It's got to be, you know, fundamental gross misconduct, and where that trust is totally broken before we dismiss. We need to be careful that we're not dismissing where we think it's on the way out. We need that kind of definitive break.
Definitely. I mean, like, breach of trust, and like, there's the old adage of, especially like, this is off piece completely, but like within like relationships, like once the trust is broken,
yeah,
there's no real going back from that, is there? So
exactly. And you know, I wouldn't say that's entirely off piece, because at the end of the day, an employment relationship, it's still a relationship.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It's still got to be built on something. And ultimately, if you cannot trust the people that you're working with, it makes that very, very difficult. We get then into the realms of things like micromanagement, where you're breathing down somebody's neck because you can't trust that they're doing what they're doing. We're over monitoring somebody. Mm. So it might be that we're tracking specifically the time they come into work, we're looking at what they're doing online. And when we're getting into those situations, the employee feels uncomfortable. They don't feel like they're in a very healthy working environment, but equally the employer starts to become a bit paranoid and it starts to spiral.
Toxic.
Toxic.
Very toxic. Mm. Lovely. Third question, as an employer, as a HR professional, how do you, this is a good one, how do you prove employees are actually pulling a sickie?
So this is difficult. As we've said, often an employee who is pulling a sickie is able to go and get a sick note. And again, we're not blaming the GPs here necessarily. It's very difficult for a doctor who doesn't know the background to a situation to say, oh, well, actually, you know, I know what's been going on at work, and no, I don't believe that you're sick. As I said, if an employee presents at a GP surgery and tells them that they're not feeling very well, they need some time off work, the chances are they're going to be given it.
Mm-hmm.
So as we said, we don't want to be going toe-to-toe to the GP. They've got a job to do, and we're not criticising what it is that they're doing, but we do have some other tools at our disposal. So in this situation, the employee has expressed a desire to manipulate that policy. So we have got grounds to suspect that they might be lying, being dishonest, or abusing that sickness policy. We also have occupational health at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talk about occupational health, some people may think we've got to be a massive company to have occupational health. You know, when people either on television or in large companies talk about, oh, I'm just popping to see occupational health, there's a nurse somewhere in the building that they can go and see. These days, occupational health is much more accessible. So there's a multitude of companies where employees can be seen virtually, so they can have consultations online, or they can still be seen in person. And an employer can ring up a provider and say, I've got an employee, I need a medical opinion, and we can refer them to occupational health. Now, the benefit that we have with Occi Health, OH, or Occi Occupational Health.
Health,
that's what we call them, Occi Health, is we can brief them, we can give a bit of background.
Okay.
So we can say, we've got this employee, they haven't exhibited any issues at work, their attendance has been fine.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a bit of a dispute over the holiday policy, and the employee has expressed that their intention is to go off sick. And nearer the time, it could be that we make that referral, so that we can then have a little bit more confidence, depending on the report that comes back, to say, we think you've been dishonest, and we have a medical opinion to rely upon. So it's not us as an employer sat behind our desk saying, I'm going to dispute what a doctor says. We've got some evidence, some medical evidence to rely on when we make that point.
Cool. I was going to actually bring something up related to that, because I've not personally had much experience with Occi Health. So have you ever had it? This is my own question.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever had it where like this has happened and you've like spoke to a GP?
So with GPs as an employer, we can correspond with them. So we can ask for medical notes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got an employee, where we typically do it is where you've got someone who's either been off long term, or they're off on regular intervals, and we need a bit of a better understanding of what's going on. So an employee might come to work and they say that they're suffering with something that's particularly complicated, something we've never heard of. Well, actually, as an employer, we don't understand. So we don't understand how it affects them. Mm-hmm. We can say, well, look, can we have your permission to write to your GP? And we're going to ask your GP to explain it to us so we can understand what it is that you're suffering with, how it's going to affect you at work, and what adjustments or support we might need to give you. And we can ask for their medical history as part of that, or the medical history that's relevant to what's going on. So employers and GPs corresponding like that is quite a common occurrence. In terms of asking for a report on an employee's health, that can either go to a GP or it can go to Occhi Health. It depends on the employer's preference. Mm-hmm. GP surgeries tend to be very busy. So when we're asking for reports, we can be looking at months before we get those back. Wow. Occhi Health can turn around in a couple of weeks.
Wow. So Occhi Health is the preference.
Depending on the situation, so where you've got someone who sees their GP regularly and the GP's got a really good understanding of what's going on, they might have their hospital referrals, they might have specialist reports. The GP's going to be really good at kind of interpreting all of that and giving some advice on, well, look, this is what they've got, this is how we're dealing with it and how it's being managed, and this is how you can support them at work. Now, some GPs, they won't go into that support at work because they say, look, we're not occupational health, it's not our specialism, but that letter that they then give you that details what it is that they're suffering with, what the symptoms are, how it's being managed, is really useful then for occupational health to then go, great, we've got this information, this is how it affects them at work, and this is how you as an employer can support them.
So it depends on who's got the better relationship or better understanding of the employee
and what they're suffering with.
Yeah.
So when it comes to stuff that's traditionally perhaps a little bit simpler to manage, you might be fine with the GP, but where you're looking at, you know, really in depth, what sort of support does this person need, and maybe adjustments at work, occupational health is really, really valuable tool.
Wonderful. Last question, as an employer, what preventative policies should HR have in place to make sure this doesn't happen in future?
So in this situation, the employer had absolutely the right thing in place. So they had a policy that stated, before an employee books or pays for a holiday, you get it approved at work. Mm-hmm. Now, what we often hear from employees is, well, what does it matter to the employer? I want to take time off, I'll take time off. If I want to go on holiday, it's nothing to do with them. It's my private life. But the reality is, if you want time off work, that has to be approved. An employer has the right to refuse annual leave. So an employee does have the entitlement to take 5.6 weeks in a year, but when that leave is taken is up to the employer. Mm-hmm. So that is sometimes a bit lost on employees who think, well, I've got leave, I can just use it whenever I want. That's not the case. But so that we're being fair to everyone, we need that rule book. So this is who you should be booking your holidays off with. This is how much notice you should be giving the company. So some companies only require a couple of weeks notice of a holiday. Some where you've got more complicated shift patterns or perhaps minimum staffing requirements. So things like care homes, education sectors where they're not limited to just the school holidays, or where there's particularly manual work that requires two or three people to do things to be safe, they require a lot more notice so those shifts can be planned. So that should all be in the policy. And a very, very clear statement that you should not pay for a holiday until it's been approved. Now, that sounds like quite a lot of faff just to go away. If you think, mm-hmm. I've got to send an email, got to get it approved, got to get it back. And companies that have systems in place, this can be automated, like the Hero system.
Wouldn't it be great?
Bit of product placement there. Where a click of a button, you can request a holiday, get it approved, and everybody's in the know straight away. Yeah. But it's really, really important that everybody plays the game and follows those rules, because as in this situation with Porsche, one person doesn't follow the rules, it upsets the entire apple cart.
Yeah,
so it's really, really important that we have those policies and always that we circulate them. There's no point in having a policy if nobody's read them. Mm-hmm. If nobody's read them and they don't know what's going on, we can't criticize them then when they don't follow those rules.
When you put ours in the office, I did read them on the door.
Oh, that's good. So you read the health and safety policies that are pinned at the door.
I did about the eye tests and stuff.
Yeah.
All that. Yeah, I'm honest.
Good. Well done, Ollie.
questions to ask as an employee now. I'm just conscious of time, that's all. I've booked my holiday well in advance. Why shouldn't I be allowed time off?
So you may think you've done the right thing by booking well in advance, but again, there could be other people who are more organized than you and have done it even more in advance. And particularly where you've got people who are either planning childcare or perhaps have caring obligations, or even people perhaps who are in forces relationships where you might have people who are being deployed and they know months in advance when they might be coming home, they are likely to be very on the ball because they know when school holidays are, they know when their partner's coming home, or they know perhaps when someone's coming in or out of respite care, and they will book through the year to make sure that they have got their year planned out. Now, if someone's got in there before you, and where we sometimes see this as a bit of a conflict is where we'll have workplaces where someone goes, that person, 1st of January, every year books the school holidays off and nobody else gets a look in.
I've heard that loads.
Exactly. It's, you think, well, how's anybody else supposed to get a look in because they're at a minute past midnight, they've logged on as soon as the holidays are released and they book them all off. That's for the employer to manage, to make sure that everybody basically has a fair shot at getting the leave that they want and that one person doesn't dominate it. So again, that's making sure that the system isn't being abused. And that can be quite difficult to manage when we've got competing holiday requests, because you think, well, this person, okay, fine, they've got in there early and they've booked it off, but they've followed the policy. Can we really interfere? And that's a difficult one for HR to manage, because then it's making sure that we don't have relationships breaking down in the workplace.
It needs to be somewhat fair, doesn't it, I suppose? But every workplace has got one of them who's like really on the ball. It's just being organised, in my opinion.
It is, but it doesn't mean necessarily, again, so they might put those requests in that they have to be approved. It could be, well, look, appreciate you've put them in and you've put them in first. However, we need to be fair to everybody. You've had Christmas off for the last 6 years. It's somebody else's
turn this
year.
Now.
Exactly. So for HR, it's not just a case of approving requests and checking with line managers. It's also thinking about those relationships within the workforce. So not just trust and confidence between you and the employee, but also what's going on between the employees. And if someone is getting the benefit of the holiday policy more than somebody else, we need to make sure that we're managing that and that we're being fair.
Cool. Excellent. Second question, as an employee, I've unfairly not been given time off, with other staff members getting more priority / favouritism than me.
It's always unfair.
Isn't life unfair?
Always unfair.
Where's the justice?
And particularly when someone's holiday request gets turned down, the first sort of response is, well, it's not fair. And it's very difficult for employers when you're sort of sat in that chair and you've got 7 or 8 competing requests to decide who gets what. I would say the key here from an employer perspective is make sure that we are communicating well with employees. So if we're routinely saying no to somebody, or the perception is that it's unfair, what is the message that you're delivering? How are you doing it? Are you just sending them a no notification, or are you saying, look, can you just pop into the office? Let's have a quick chat about, you know, why it is that we can't approve this. Or it could be, if actually you feel it's a bit unfair, that we think, well, is there something that we can do? Can we bring in some temps or some agency staff to cover a shift? Or actually, is someone taking the day off just because they don't necessarily have any plans, and it could be something that you think they could be flexible on? So can we do a bit of a swap with somebody else? It's really important, because where we're seeing a lot on social media, and it's this weird kind of reverse discrimination that they call it, where people say, because I don't have kids, I always end up working Christmas. Because the ones who've got children, the perception is that family time is more important to them. So I feel like I'm always picking up the slack.
Naturally, yeah.
And we're seeing this coming out on LinkedIn. We're seeing it coming out more and more on TikTok, with people complaining to say, well, because I don't have kids, I have to pick up the slack. So it's really important that we don't undervalue time off for people who don't necessarily have caring arrangements or have children. The time that they may want to spend with their siblings, their parents, or go traveling is just as valuable as the time that people want to spend with their children. Now, that can be quite controversial, and it's quite a difficult thing to manage, particularly when you're thinking about things like Christmas, Easter, the really kind of key family times when people want to make memories and be there with their kids. But we have to try and be fair to everybody.
It works Christmas anyway.
Lots of people work Christmas,
Ollie. Not me. Wouldn't this be great as well if they're like a nice centralised company planner to see all the when people are off and what have you, shameless plug.
Make life much easier.
It would, wouldn't it? Last question as an employee, and last question today. Work has major staffing issues. Shouldn't they be better at allocating the team's resources and time?
So staffing issues, particularly in some sectors, when we look at things like care, hospitality, it is an issue throughout the year. They're always either saying they don't have enough staff or don't have enough cover, and it's a constant battle to try and fill shifts. And it can mean when they're short staffed that actually, there's a total blackout on people taking holidays. So we've got care and hospitality clients where they have certain points of the year where people are not allowed to book leave, and they will be told it's a no if they try and book leave off during those periods. And that can produce a bit of resentment, but actually, if you're going to work in those industries, often it's not totally unexpected. And it can be quite difficult to find additional staff to solve that problem. So it can be very easy for an employee to say, well, look, it's simple. Just if you get more staff, we won't have this problem. Recruitment can be a nightmare. It may well be that actually you can recruit, but then you can't get people to stay. And particularly in sectors where, you know, the work is difficult, where you might be doing antisocial shifts, or where somebody actually just kind of gets a bit sick of that lifestyle and wants to move on, it can be very difficult to retain people. So it's not always as simple as, well, let's staff up, particularly if budgets are a bit of an issue and there's a constraint there. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple as, well, we'll just go and get more people.
I've got a friend's missus, she works in care, and she mentioned like the staff turnover at her place mm-hmm. is mad.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
Yeah.
It's a really, really hard job. And, you know, for the work that they're doing, the pay isn't necessarily amazing.
Yeah, full respect to them people as well. Like, mad respect for what they do for our nearest and dearest. That's literally, well, we've got some closing thoughts to summarise. So, what emergency measures can HR departments take to make sure sickies aren't acceptable in the workplace? Let's just summarise everything mm-hmm. what we've discussed, really, if we can, Alyssa.
So with sickies, it's really important that we have really clear policies. So the same with holidays. So we know what rules we need to be following to take a holiday. The same when it comes to sick leave. So that we expect somebody to be notifying us at a certain time that if they're going to be off for more than a week, that they're going to the doctor and they're getting a fit note. And actually, where there's behaviour that undermines perhaps what it is that they say that they're not very well with, that we look at additional resources such as things like occupational health. And also that we're not overreacting. So have a chat with the employee first. Try and maintain that relationship before we kind of go, actually, no, I think you're a bit of a liar. I'm going to go and ask a professional for a second opinion. Exactly. Back to that trust and confidence point. Yeah. Particularly if it's a bit out of character for that employee, they might just be a bit knackered and think, you know what? I'm not necessarily ill with anything, but I just need some time off because I'm not feeling up for work. That's not necessarily pulling a sickie. So let's understand what's really going on. We don't need to bring in the big guns every time something goes wrong. Make sure that we've got the policies in place and try and preserve that relationship as well.
Yeah. Thanks for your time again. Been a pleasure discussing with you. I think we're getting to the role list now, to be fair.
I think we're getting the hang of it. And look, it's great seeing the feedback that we're getting about this as well. And as always, you know, if you're enjoying listening, watching, tuning in and you know, enjoying what we're talking about, then please send us your scenarios. So at the moment, you know, these are real client queries. You know, this is stuff that we're dealing with day in, day out. Mm-hmm. So I think the live examples are great for people as a learning point. But actually, if there's something where you think, well, how would you deal with this? Or it's something that you've perhaps dealt with in the past and mm-hmm. you'd like to see what our take on it would be, then, you know, we'd love those to be sent in. Give us more to talk about.
Definitely. More juice to get stuck into. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Cheers. Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media, or even hrer@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect. But by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier, and more productive workplaces.